I think one of the most important things to me about sickness is that we remember not to be the shy ones. There's a song by Casting Crowns. It's a contemporary group. And it talks about having the right words to say. He said, let us not talk about the weather anymore, but talk about something that really matters. Find those acceptable words. Because, you know, I don't mind talking to anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ, period. I mean, that's my job. And if you need me, I'll try to be there. But don't be shy yourself. Your words and your verses and your testimony is not going to be any less powerful than anybody else's. In fact, it may be more powerful coming from you. I'll never forget a friend of mine, Matt Wilson. I'd gotten saved my senior year in college. I was 24 years of age. I know that's an awful thing, and I couldn't decide what I was going to do, so I just stayed in college for 6 or 7 years, burning up my own money. My parents didn't pay for my college. They said, if you want to go, you have to go on your own. And so I put myself through college and worked full-time and went to school and lived on my own, and it was rough. And my senior year, I got saved that August 24th, 1983, right before my senior year started. And I'll never forget carrying a Bible to campus. And, you know, it reminded me of that first day you get back in school and say, what did you do for your summer? Well, I couldn't wait to tell people what happened. And I realized in about 6 or 7 months that they wish I hadn't had that summer. And all my friends who said they were friends basically became enemies. We were all beer drinking, pot smoking, hell raising college students. And I wasn't interested in that anymore. I was interested in my Savior. And they all thought, well, Barry's going through a phase. Well, that phase has now lasted 25 years. Almost 29, it would be 26 years in August, 8 months coming up. And it wasn't a phase for me. Something changed in my life. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is about being a Joe Christian. Well, you know, it is easy to fake Christianity for a small season. Mm-hmm. And hang out. I even learned the words of rightly dividing. I could tell you who my apostle was, and I was lost. I could tell you what part of the Bible was written to me, but I was lost. And I want to start in 1 Corinthians 15 this morning and talk about a single phrase. It's one thing to fake it out for a small season. It's another to be secure in your salvation. And I'm going to talk to you about a term today that I don't even like to use much, but it is apparent that it's important. And it's, the term is a lost believer. A lost believer. Now, I don't like that term, because if you're a believer, you're truly saved. But there are a lot of religious people that are lost. And so I want to talk to you about that today, about what is a lost believer. And I want to start in 1 Corinthians 15, in your Bible, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you shall be saved. By which you are almost saved. What?
Are
saved. If you keep in memory, and that's the term that I want to work with, is if. If you keep in memory of what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So what does that mean to you? Somebody could believe in vain. I mean, you got to think about it. Before I got saved, I believed in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. How many here believed in Jesus Christ before they got saved? Mm-hmm. How many believed in the Word of God before I got saved? I mean, come on. It's not really that hard to imagine that there are lots of lost people out there that are religious, but they're lost. I was one of those. If you'd have seen me before 15, you'd have said, he's a Joe Christian. You seen me about 15 or 16, you'd have said, he's a little hellraiser. And I'm not trying to put the walk on the testimony. I'm just saying that, you know, you can only be who you are, fake who you are, so long somebody's going to find you out. It's like when you're dating. Have you ever noticed when you're dating it's really strange? I mean, you know, when you're dating, the guy comes over, sits you in, shuts the door, walks around, gets in the car, looks at you and says, darling. And that's the same jerk that beats you when you get home. Hey, don't laugh. The guy that just beat his girlfriend up, Brianna?
Brown.
Huh?
Brown?
Chris Brown? That guy ought to be locked up forever. Hit a woman. But you know what he says? Honey, I love you. I bet he wasn't saying that while he was popping her in the face. Well, we can all fake out love for a little while, but love comes true. Your actions. You know what? You can only fake it so long. Now, these people have been married 50 years. Well, they're probably not faking it at 50 years. They might actually like each other. People fake it out all the time. We're fakers. We want to be something. I watch people, they want to act richer than they are. They want to put on the... They'll go out and buy a car they can't afford so they can look like somebody that they're not. I mean, people are just fakers. I've done it. How many here have done it? I've faked it out. Wanted people to think differently of me. So I act a different way. Harder to be yourself, isn't it? I think it was Shakespeare once said, to thy own self be true.
That's right.
Boy, that's hard to do, isn't it? Honesty of yourself is sometimes the most difficult part of being honest. It's easier to be honest with someone else. You know, like Wayne, you're be honest. What he doesn't know is ugly and broke. You know, if the truth was known about us, we wouldn't want it to be known. Amen? If the truth was really known about it, you know, it's one thing to say all those things, and it's another thing to shut the door and no one else looks and see what happens behind those closed doors. Amen? And weird. I mean, you know, out front, boy, those two people just love each other. They're so in love. And in home, they're yelling at each other, why didn't you pay the bill? Why are you doing that? Amen? Even my mom and dad, who I thought were greatly in love, on Saturday morning, I would hear my dad yell, and it was always about money. Us. But everybody looked on the outside and said, boy, that couple just loves each other. Weird, isn't it? We can fake it for a little while. And when you read verse 2 in salvation, there are a lot of people faking their salvation. Like it's going to matter to me. Listen, God knows. And the part is verse 2. He said, by which also ye are saved. Not going to be, not shall be, not if you endure, you are saved. Well, you don't have to go around thinking that. Either you are or you are not. But listen, he says, if we keep in memory what I believed unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And I believe people do that all the time. I listened to George's testimony. You don't mind if I use that?
Absolutely not.
He thought he was saved all those years, and all of a sudden came to the realization that he hadn't been trusting the Lord. You know how many times I've heard that story? I've heard grace preachers preach, lost as a ball in high weeds, preach and preach the gospel, and they're still lost.
And I've done the same thing.
I mean, you listen, just because you stand behind the pulpit doesn't mean anything. You don't think, listen, people have to go through and evaluate what it is that they believed and why they believed it. Well, I just wanted to be part of the group. Well, that's not the good enough reason. In fact, the word in vain literally means, this is what it means, with out a cause. You believed it without a cause, without a reason. Well, I believed in Jesus. Why did you believe in Jesus? Well, I wanted to be a good person. That's believing in vain. I wanted to change my life. Well, that's believing in vain. I want to change my lifestyle. You're believing in vain. Why you believe Jesus Christ is because you see yourself lost. I always ask the person, not when did you get saved, but when did you see yourself lost? Amen. That's the question. To what point in your life were you tromping along and, whoa, right here, and you realize you were lost? Mm-hmm. Until you see yourself lost, what point is there to get saved? Well, I'm okay. I've been going to church my whole life. That's believing in vain. That's Joe the Christian. Now, I'm using that term because of Joe the plumber. Joe the Christian. What do we know about Joe the plumber? He got 15 minutes of fame. Is that what you said? That's right. Guess what about Joe the Christian? He's going to get 15 minutes or 70 years of fame. So he fakes it out the whole time. He's going to spend eternity in hell. Listen, what you want to do is be to your own self truth. When was there, I mean, if I went down the day and I just started going down, And there was a time, because there is a day. Turn to Psalms 32 for a minute. There is a day for everybody. Look in Psalms 32. I want to start in verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is what? Boy, that's a really good place to start. Whose sin is covered. Hey, that's even better. Amen. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. You know why the Lord doesn't impute iniquity on you? He made His Son to be iniquity. And His Spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old, and my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I have acknowledged my sin unto thee. Now, I don't believe that you have to sit down and confess your sins. Okay, you understand? But there has to be a moment when you're overwhelmed by your sin. You all understand? There has to be a place where you realize that you're lost. And he says, "For I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." There has to be a place where you come to that realization. You all understand that? There has to be a place where you come to an agreement with God. And it isn't something vague. How many here have been married? All right, give me your wedding days. What? December 1981? Come on, someone else yell out one.
June 28th.
You don't forget those dates. Okay, I'm going to play the silly game with Gene and Larry. I don't remember the date. Here's the fact. You know what happened that day. Amen. Larry, which time are we talking? I told Larry after three times, there's one thing you learn. You're not good at anything like that. Just stop. Stop doing that. Whether you remember the D-A-T-E, you do remember the M-O-M-E-N-T. You understand? You know what happened during that day. Even though some of it may be a blur, you remember stuff in the cake in her face. You know, standing there with those two pieces of cake, and you know what they're thinking. Am I supposed to smash this into his face or her face? And the answer is, no, you're not supposed to. Oh, well, too late. You remember what happened. And you memorialize that by having anniversaries. And the reason Larry has forgotten, it's been a long time since he had an anniversary. But if he'd had an anniversary, that date would not go away from his mind. You all understand what I'm saying? There's just no way it would fade because you go back over that date. Now, Brenda and I had a very romantic marriage. We got married between the adventure and the suspense novels at my bookstore. I'm not kidding. It's been that ever since. You guys think I'm kidding you, don't you? William's going, you've got to be kidding me. No, we did get married there, didn't we, honey?
No cake.
No cake. And I haven't eaten any since then. You might get a shot of my six-pack. I got muscles I don't even know of.
More like a suit thing.
No cake, put a lot of icing.
What?
No cake, put a lot of icing.
Yeah. I remember where I was. Remember the situation? Jason was playing Pac-Man at the time. My sister remembers it. We dropped Jason off that night. We bought all these dresses to get married in. You have to have about five dresses for one day, you know, one for this party and one for that. And we had all these dresses for Brendan. I guess we're not going to need this. She got modeled. Took pictures and took them back to Sears. I remember the day. They changed my life. I was forever changed by that moment in time. But you don't remember the day when you gained eternal life? That'd be a little queer. Would you need to have a D-A-T-E? No, but listen to verse 32 again. Psalms 32. Now this is what God says. "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be what?
Found.
What does that mean to you? Let me give you another verse. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. You may want to write that right there. you may want to write that in Psalms 32, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. I want to read verse 1, but 2 is the verse I'm looking for. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. What do we want to put there? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2. Y'all got it? That is more. At least you guys get a chance to put it in your Bible. Amen? Y'all got that? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2. And verse 2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time," what? "Accepted, and in the day of salvation have I scourged thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You should put Psalms 32, verse 5 and 6 right there. Why? Because, there, you know, unless you can testify of a moment where you went from darkness onto light, and you walk from the darkness and entered into the light, that is the moment in which you know you're saved. Now, before then, you may not know anything. If I could seal off all the light in this room, you would be in what?
Darkness.
What do you know in absolute darkness? Who's been in the cave before? When they cut off the lights, what do? You can't even see your hand in front of your face. I mean, period. And I mean, 2 minutes goes by, and 3 minutes, and you start to hear people start to get nervous. You can hear kind of a rumble and a roar, because they don't even know where to step. You know what that feels like? You're lost. Now, you were in darkness before, but the reason that you could see around was they had artificially pumped light in there. That's kind of like being Joe Christian. You artificially put the lights in, but there is nothing in your heart about that true light. It's not anything about Jesus Christ. It's about an artificial light you flip with a switch. Because once you're in that cave and you're totally in darkness, buddy, you start freaking out. You almost get claustrophobic feeling. But something breaks the light into that darkness and starts cracking it open for you. We cut off the light and put blindfolds on you and started twisting you, and had you walked, you'd be stumbling into the thing. Eventually you wouldn't know which way the aisles were, because chairs would be all distraught and you'd be confused. You know what that represents? Your lostness. I was lost one time. I know what it feels like to be lost. I tried to figure it out. You know what? You can't pray yourself out of lostness. Listen, you cannot cry yourself out of lostness. You can't confess yourself. If you're in darkness, I'm bad, you still can't see. It isn't until light pierces that darkness that you can see anything. You know who does that? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what does it. It is that light coming in. Go to 2 Corinthians 4, I believe it is. Let me see. Yeah. I'm just going to start in verse 3. Well, I'm going to start at the beginning. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, if you don't mind. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received of mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitful, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? I was at a rescue mission here in town. And at this rescue mission, it was a cold winter day. And the place had 30, 35 men in there that were homeless. And I went down the row. I had preached the gospel for 45 minutes. I think Brenda was there. Jamie was there. I don't remember if Jason was there, but I guess he was. And outside of our family, I just preached the gospel clearly for 35 minutes, went and asked them what the gospel was. What kind of answers do you think I got? Here's some of the answers I've got. Tell me if this is what maybe you would answer. The gospel is the good news of the Bible. Some said Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the good news. Some said repent. That's the good news. Some said, well, you have to be baptized to receive the good news. 35 men, we went down the aisle, and not one of them got it right. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What do we know about those 35 men? That's weird, isn't it? I just preached the gospel. But whatever issue was in their life kept them blind to the truth. See, that's pretty mind-boggling. So what would keep them from seeing it? Well, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 12. What would cause them not to see this? See then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, but their minds were blinded. That's the darkness. For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Guess what that would include? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Which veil is done away with Christ? Well, what happens if you take the veil off your eyes? You can see. Why? Light. What does your eyes need to see? Light. If it has the absence of light, what happens? You're dark, you're blind, right? Even unto this day, when Moses is read the law, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, read it with me. The veil shall be taken away. I was once blind, but now I see. That happens in a moment. That happens in a moment. I wrote a Christian song. It was called A Moment in Time. Because people think somehow they're evolving into knowledge. I'm gaining the knowledge. No, whoa. Hey, you can preach lost. Amen, George? It's not about knowing words. It's about a day when you had a Savior. A moment when you saw your need. And instead of doing things religiously, you said, heck with all the religion. I'm trusting what Jesus Christ did for me. If that is not enough, I'll go to hell. When that happens, all of a sudden, aha comes about. Aha. I'll never forget when I heard the gospel. I'd gotten under conviction about 3 weeks before I got saved. I mean, bad conviction. I knew I was lost. And in those 3 weeks, I tried to figure out everything I could to get the thing settled in my mind. One time, Brother Moore gave an opportunity that if you wanted to trust the Lord, why don't you just stand up? And I'll tell you how pride works. I had one over here saying, you know, you're lost. And then on this one says, don't stand up, you'll be embarrassed. Another one says, but you're lost. This is your chance. You're denying the Lord. Over here says, if you stand up, you are going to embarrass all of us. Now, I'm telling you, it was like that. Brother Moore says, is there anybody here that'd like to stand up and trust the Lord right now? And I'm going, yeah, me. And he's, shut up. That night I went home lost. Didn't sleep much that night because, not because I thought I was going to die. I was 24. I didn't think I was going to die. I thought the rapture would happen. And I've been faking being Joe Christian. But I didn't have a Savior. And I got nervous. I hardly slept through the night, and that next Thursday morning, that was a Wednesday night, that Thursday morning about 10 o'clock, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We were having Bible camp one time. We were over at Plantersville, Alabama. This lady had come to camp and drove in for the lunch. She was going to help cook the meal. Except we all went on a hike. The whole place went on a hike. She showed up and the pots were boiling and the food was in the oven. And there wasn't a single person at that camp. And she freaked out, thought she'd lost, missed the rapture. I'm telling you a true story. Scared to death that she had missed the rapture. You know what that person was being?
Lost.
Joe the Christian.
Right.
Lost. Right. But boy, every meeting there, every time there, here's a party, there a party, everywhere a party. They were there every time the church doors opened. But you know what? That person was lost because when it came down time and she had thought everybody had gone, she realized she had never trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, had never believed that Christ had died for all of her sins. She had believed it was something she was doing, and all of a sudden, everybody was gone. I was once preaching at Brenda's mom's house. T.B. Holloway was there, and the two nephews were there, Mitch and Brett. And I said, wouldn't it be terrible one night you reach over there and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And I said, you reach over to Jason and you realize that there's just a body with blood all over it. Right there and outside of him went Jason and you were left behind. Well, Brett said he trusted the Lord. Because he thought about, man, he kept filling Jason, making sure he hadn't disappeared. You know what? You may not remember a time. If you don't, you need to get it settled in your mind. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you've gone from darkness to light? How do you know?
Spirit bears witness with you.
It does. But you don't know that until you get to this point.
Well, what I was going to say is there is an unmistakable peace that you did not have before.
No, that's true. I was uneasy the whole time. I was just, man, listen, I tell you what, I used to come into church, I'm not kidding you, with Brother Moore, and I felt like you could cut the air. Has anybody ever felt that?
Mm-hmm.
So thick that you're thinking, man, something is weird here. I mean, even the hair on my back would stand up sometimes. Anybody ever felt that?
Amen.
If you felt that, say amen.
Amen.
That's because you're lost. But George is right. The moment you trust Christ, you got that peace.
Amen.
See, go to 2 Corinthians 3 where we're reading. Watch this. But even unto this day, verse 15, when Moses has read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, what's the it?
Their heart.
Their heart shall turn to the Lord. The veil shall be taken away. Now watch this. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hey, all of a sudden you're not going, wonder what's going to happen. Go back to 2 Corinthians 4, just come down a little bit. I want to start in verse 3 again. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Notice the colon. What does colon mean?
More information.
Yeah, and what about the more information? That is more important because it explains perhaps that, right? It's a more extensive truth. Watch this. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And how did the God of this world blind their minds? Through
religion.
He isn't up there with a pitchfork. He's doing it through religion. Gospel was be as good as you can, put your good on one side and bad on the other, weigh it out. I believe that. Well, people believe that until they hear the truth and they get under conviction. And who's tried to bring their blindness about? Who's tried to keep them from seeing? The God of this world. Now watch. In whom the God of this world is blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest, here it is, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? That He died for all of your sins. Who is the image of God should shine onto them. So the man of God preaches the gospel. The man of God preaches the truth of the Word of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's not anything you do. It's the gift of God, not of works. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. I mean, come on. He washed it. Not me cleaning up. Not me repenting of my sin. Not me doing the best I can. Not me. He did it all. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What? I was once was blind, but now I see. That's the song. That person understands the same truth I understood.
Amen.
Then he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God commended the light to shine out of darkness, and has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. What did God do?
Made Him to be sent for us.
Well, yes, He did. But how did He tell us? He sent a man to speak words that drove the Holy Spirit into your hearts. To show you your lost condition. That's what He did. And you know what? He didn't shine out of brightness. He came shining out of what? Darkness. And you know who that is? It's me. I'm not any better. But His light shines out of me because I speak the Word, and the words are light. The words expose. Do you know what the words do? It says it cuts asunder. Even to the intent and the thoughts of the heart. The words that I can speak are in such a way that they will define the intent of your own heart. I used to wonder how Brother Moore knew all about me. He didn't know all about me. God knew about me, and His words were piercing to me out of Brother Moore's mouth. You know what? I used to blame Brother Moore. Well, he just got a bad attitude. I used to think that. I think, man, he's picking on my religion. I'm telling you, I thought those things. He hates Methodists. That's what I thought. How many here thought that one time when Brother Moore was preaching? I mean, you get off, and if people think that of me, hey, I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm trying to show you the intent of your heart. Joe Christian. People can break out Christianity, but you know what? They can't break out a testimony.
That's right.
We have had thousands of people stand up and give testimonies. Stan, have you ever heard a testimony you felt the person was lost?
Yes, sir.
Larry? Matt? George?
Certainly.
There are people who give testimony all the time that are lost. God doesn't want them to be lost. God doesn't want them to be lost. And it's hard to be honest with the group, isn't it? Isn't it? It's hard. I'd rather not mention it. But I started about thinking about this Joe the Plumber deal. I've been thinking about it for a while. Like the other day, I thought, where is he now? I heard him a lot right up there at the campaign. Don't hear them anymore. You know, that's like Christians. They show up for a little while, but they can't handle it. You know why? They're lost.
That's right.
And they get under conviction, and they don't know what it is. Feel uncomfortable. You know how I know? I felt it. I felt uncomfortable. Not because they're a different group of people. I think we have one of the most... In fact, that couple, Phil and them, came, said it was the most friendly church they've ever visited. Tamara even said she liked it. Debbie says... And I don't know where Debbie is this morning. The snowman kept her away. But Debbie said, Debbie said that she really loves the friendliness of this church. This is, I think, a very friendly church. Not huge. But you know what? Very few people will stand for the truth. Most people will stand for their religion because they don't have to prove anything. But you're not standing for Grace Bible Church. You're standing for Christ. Big difference. See, when was there a day in your life that you got to this point and the light entered in? How does the light enter in? It's through the fullness of preaching to save them that believe, God said. So how does the light get into you and pierce that darkness? By preaching. Faith cometh by hearing. It comes in by your ears. And the words of the preacher sit heavy in your heart because, you know what, we all know that we're not any good, amen? I mean, it doesn't take long in my list to, you look into my life and say, well, there's no way Barry can get in by his goodness, he's rotten. But those preachers told me that. And I sat in that congregation lost for 2.5 months. And I believe I knew I was lost, really, from the very first time I stepped in. I knew that they had something that I didn't have. I'll never forget Miss Gloria when she came to me. It was over off of Pelzer. She came in. She said, I'm lost. I'm doubting. The words had started sinking into her heart. How long did that take? How long did you feel that way, Gloria? Did you feel that way a long time? It's weird. We don't deal with it. We got these feelings, but we're not sure what's actually happening. Then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit convinces us it's Him, basically. And all of a sudden, you want to settle the matter. That's what happened to me. I wanted to settle the matter.
The fear factor.
Yeah. It got overwhelming. You know why people don't feel like they're going to hell? You want to know why people don't feel like they're going to hell? No.
They think they're pretty good.
Who said that? George? They think they are good. Why, God would never send me to hell. Folks, listen. Mothers, grandmothers, people of all race and color are dying today, and their next destiny will be hell. You don't hear that in church anymore. When was the last time you heard a message on hell? I mean, you don't hear it. I was preaching Richard's funeral. That was the most interesting thing. His little memorial service he had. People saying, oh, how he was Joe Christian. And I said, no. Richard was bad. Richard wasn't any good. The reason Richard got to go to heaven is because he had a Savior. You all understand? Have you all seen Richard's testimony on our webpage? You ought to go back and look at the webpage. Larry gives his testimony, Stan. You ought to watch the videos on there. Maybe you'd like to have a video of. Gloria gives her testimony there. Have you seen it, Gloria? Got to go to the webpage and see your testimony. But you know what? Not everybody in this room is on that video. And what happens today? You go and someone gets slipping on ice and hits you and you die. How would I know whether you were saved? When was there a time in your life that you knew that if your next heartbeat stopped, you'd bust hell wide open and you wanted to trust Christ? When was that day? I remember exactly where I was and whom I trusted. And that's all I can testify is that moment in my life. And some of you guys, I've never heard your testimony. Maybe it's not there. Maybe you believed in vain. Maybe you want to believe. Your whole life is falling apart around you. What you need worse than anything is Jesus Christ. I'm done. Appreciate y'all watching on the internet. Hope it was a blessing. Appreciate everybody coming out in the snow and hope it wasn't rough.